and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. You know, there are some times when we should get to work to answer a prayer, rather than waiting for God to take care of it. For example, you know, you might have some illness and you pray for healing, but you still have to take your medicine. You still have to follow the doctor's orders. And I think that thought has relevance for today's gospel reading. It is a prayer that Jesus prayed on the night before he died. And the words and the concepts are incredibly beautiful and majestic. You know, but we must admit that in some ways it seems more like an idealistic dream than a realistic prayer. Take, for example, the part where Jesus prayed for his followers, that they all may be one. Now, that's a lovely dream, but is it a realistic hope? Did Jesus really expect that request to be answered? And if so, how and when? Now, I'm sure that all of you know too well the divisions and the disagreements, the splits and the splinters within the church today. In fact, this petition of our Lord's seems further from fulfillment now than it did 2,000 years ago. There is good reason to wonder if it ever has been answered or if it ever could be. But all of us need to realize that the first followers of Jesus, those who actually heard him and heard his teaching, failed to live together in perfect harmony. You see, the New Testament is an honest book. That's one of the many reasons that I believe it. Interestingly, it makes no attempt to conceal the imperfections of its leading characters. Three of the Gospels report the crass ambitions of James and John. They had the audacity to come to Jesus seeking places of special power and prominence in his kingdom. And when the other disciples found out about this, they were absolutely furious. The book of Acts tells us about a big fight that arose in the earliest church at Jerusalem. And it was about preferential treatment. You see, the Greek Christians were being treated as second-class citizens by the Hebrew Christians, and they were the first Christians. Hebrew widows were being well taken care of, and the Greek widows got what was left over. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul tells of a nasty fight between himself and St. Peter over racial discrimination. Jews against Gentiles. In fact, there were fights and spats like that all over the place. There never has been a time when all was sweetness and light within the life of the church. And this side of heaven, there probably never will be. So then, the question arises, what did Jesus have in mind when he prayed that his followers might be one? Well, I don't think he was asking for total agreement, that we might all think the same thoughts, hold the same ideas, and see eye to eye on every issue. If that were the case, the church would not be a living, breathing organism. It would not be an incarnation of the divine. But it would be an organization of robots or a mindless cult. We would not be a family of brothers and sisters in Christ. We would be like a mindless army, marching together in thoughtless obedience to the commands of a dictator. And that's not what Jesus had in mind for his church. When Christ prayed for our togetherness, he was not concerned about our opinions. He was concerned about our attitudes. You will remember that on one occasion Jesus said, "By this the world will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." I don't have have to agree with you on every issue, and you don't have to agree with me. But there can be unity in our diversity if we only cultivate love. Now, it's God, of course, who answers prayer, and we all know that. But how can Christ's prayer for Christian unity ever be fulfilled without your help and mine? At least some small portion of that petition depends upon you and me. In a very true sense, we must get busy to get that prayer answered. We have to do our part. But finally, remember just where it is that we are being called to do this. We're not being called to stand apart from this broken world with a self-righteous disdain. Jesus specifically said that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And what this means is really quite simple. We are never to think of ourselves as better than anyone else, within the church or without. It simply means that we hold ourselves a little more accountable. We are to care a little more, love a little deeper, and try a little harder than those who have never known Christ. That is what he prayed, that we might love, live in the world, and yet be different from it, to actually be his presence in the world. Now imagine it. On the night before he died, Jesus actually prayed for you and me. It was a powerful prayer, and parts of it can seem impossible. But you and I can do our part, and we can help.